Welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast, hosted by Dr. Becca Tagg. We support clinicians who have been bitten by the entrepreneurial bug, looking to strengthen their practice to better serve their clients, employees, and themselves. Hello, and welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast. I am your host, Dr. Becca Tagg, and this is session 64. Today is going to be an article review session, and today's article might be a little bit older. It's from 1995. It comes from JABA, so the Journal of Applied Behavior Analysis, and it's about training residential supervisors to provide feedback for maintaining staff teaching skills with people who have severe disabilities, and it's by Marsha Parsons and Dennis Reed. It's also pertinent to note that these wonderful researchers are here in our great state of North Carolina. They have a variety of other supervisor and motivating human service staff textbooks that if you don't have, are great to add to your library of resources, particularly if you're serving as a supervisor. We are going to target this topic because it's so important, right? You can go to the BACB's website and see that there are far more new behavior analysts or early career professionals. So that means those who've been certified for 3 years or less. Then there are those of us who've been around longer. And I think that when we talk about training our staff or teaching our staff, we so often think about RBTs. But it's important to remember that new supervisors need to learn and need to be taught a skill repertoire or behavioral repertoire around supervisory behaviors. And giving feedback is one of those skills. So we'll get to the article. We evaluated procedures for training supervisors in a residential setting to provide feedback for maintaining direct service staff members' teaching skills with people who have severe disabilities. Using classroom-based instruction and on-the-job observation and feedback, 10 supervisors were initially trained to implement teaching programs themselves. The training improved supervisors' teaching skills, but was insufficient to improve the quality of feedback they provided to direct service staff regarding the staff members' teaching skills. Subsequently, classroom-based instruction and on-the-job observation and feedback that targeted supervisors' feedback skills were provided. Following training in provision of feedback, all supervisors met criterion for providing feedback to their staff. Results also indicated that maintenance of teaching skills was greater for direct service staff whose supervisors had received training in providing feedback relative to staff whose supervisors had not received such training. The need for analysis of other variables that affect maintenance of staff performance, as well as variables that affect other important areas of supervisor performance, is discussed. Again, there's a link in on the businessofbehavior.com website that'll have this article so you can follow along or add it to your library of materials if you're interested. And a note that if you're having a hard time finding the podcast sessions that you're looking for, you can always go to the website, thebusinessofbehavior.com, and click the blog or the podcast link, and all of the sessions will be present there. Sometimes I get emails asking where other podcast sessions are, and iTunes and Stitcher and some of the different podcasting apps only permit a certain number of podcasts to be available at one time. One factor that affects that is how many subscribers you have or how many times you've been given feedback. And so if you want to see more podcast sessions in your app, you can be sure to like and subscribe. And again, if you are looking for podcast sessions that aren't in the app, you can always go to the website. Back to the article. Despite the availability of a comprehensive staff training technology, a prevalent concern of researchers and practitioners is lack of skill maintenance following training. Supervisory feedback following staff training is generally considered to be an important variable in maintaining staff performance. Although the behavior change function of supervisory feedback has been demonstrated repeatedly, incorporating supervisory feedback into service settings remains problematic. Training supervisors in feedback skills may enhance the use of supervisory feedback and, in turn, the maintenance of staff performance. In settings serving people with developmental disabilities, correct implementation of teaching procedures is an essential skill for direct service staff. Nevertheless, lack of proficiency in the use of teaching procedures by direct service staff has been well documented. Supervisory feedback may be a means of maintaining proficient teaching performance. To date, however, only a few investigations have experimentally validated procedures for training supervisors to give feedback and maintain staff teaching skills. Furthermore, investigations involving supervisor performance have focused on professional personnel. Research that demonstrates training strategies with supervisors who do not have extensive pre-service training backgrounds is warranted. The primary purpose of this investigation was to evaluate a program for training paraprofessional supervisors to provide feedback regarding the teaching skills of direct service staff. A secondary purpose was to evaluate supervisors' use of feedback on maintenance of staff teaching performances. Method: setting participants and program background. One male and 9 female supervisors in a residential facility for people with severe disabilities participated. All supervisors had a high school degree, and 2 had attended up to 2 years of college. Each participant supervised approximately 10 direct service staff, and all worked in 1 of 3 administrative areas of the facility. This area was chosen because the majority of supervisors had worked in their current position for at least 1 year, and the area administrator had expressed interest in obtaining training for her supervisors. All new direct service staff at the facility received training in how to teach clients through the Teaching Skills Training Program. Once a staff member had met a performance criterion, 80% correct teaching behavior with 2 client programs, supervisors were expected to monitor his or her teaching at least monthly. Behavior definitions. The target skills of the teaching skills program consisted of 4 performance areas: order of teaching steps in a task analysis, least to most assistive prompting, reinforcement, and error correction. Feedback provided to staff following an observation of a teaching session with a client involved 8 components. The first component was to begin by setting a positive note for the feedback session by making a positive or empathetic statement regarding the session. Supervisors were then to provide performance-specific feedback, beginning with positive feedback and praise, and to provide appropriate praise by accurately describing and praising at least 1 teaching skill performed correctly. Next, the supervisor was to identify each category of teaching skill in which any errors were made, and describe how the skill could be performed. After feedback had been given, supervisors were to solicit questions from the staff trainee to ensure that the trainee understood the feedback. The 7th component was to discuss what should happen next based on the observation. The supervisor was to indicate the need to observe a teaching session again if the trainee performed poorly, or that additional observations were not needed if the trainee met criterion. The 8th component was to end the session with a positive statement. Observation, procedures, and reliability. Observation occurred in the living unit while a supervisor conducted a teaching program with a client. An observer recorded the correct or incorrect performance of the 4 target teaching skills for each step in the client's task analyzed program. Reliability measures were taken during 14% of all observations of supervisor teaching sessions and was calculated on a step-by-step basis by dividing the number of agreements by the number of agreements plus disagreements and multiplying by 100%. Inter-observer agreement rate averaged 95% for overall agreement, 91% for occurrence, and 73% for non-occurrence. Observations of feedback delivery occurred while a supervisor provided feedback to a staff member immediately after observing the staff member implement a teaching program with a client. The observer recorded the supervisor's correct or incorrect presentation of the 8 feedback components. Reliability checks were made during 24% of the sessions and averaged 86% for overall agreement, 73% for occurrence, and 79% for non-occurrence. The experimental conditions. Baseline. Throughout baseline, no feedback was provided to supervisors regarding teaching on feedback skills. A demonstration of at least 80% correct performance for two teaching and feedback sessions was the performance criterion. One supervisor, Cassie, transferred to the area almost after almost baseline observations had been completed. Thus, only one baseline observation of her feedback skills could be obtained. Teaching Skills Program. All supervisors completed the classroom portion of the teaching skills program even if they met criterion during baseline to ensure that supervisors were aware of the training received by new staff and to encourage supervisors to use the same terminology to describe teaching procedures. The teaching skills program for supervisors involved four-hour classroom teaching followed by observations of supervisors' teaching skills with clients. Observations were conducted at baseline, except that supervisors were given immediate feedback regarding their teaching skills. With the same format, supervisors would be taught to use when providing feedback to their staff. Observations and feedback continued until each supervisor met criterion. Once supervisors met the teaching criterion, the feedback skills of the seven supervisors were again observed, as in baseline, while they monitored and provided feedback to a staff member conducting a teaching program with a client. Because completion of the teaching skills program did not result in improved feedback for six of the seven supervisors, feedback skills were not monitored for the remaining supervisors until after the feedback program had been implemented. Feedback program. The feedback program was intended to train supervisors to observe a teaching session systematically and to provide feedback to the staff member regarding teaching proficiency. 4 hours of classroom instruction were designed to familiarize supervisors with procedures for monitoring staff teaching, like the eight components for giving feedback. Initially, the definition for each category of teaching skills was reviewed. This was followed by practice of systematic observation procedures using role-playing techniques. Next, a written handout describing the eight feedback components was discussed. This was followed by practice in presenting feedback through role-playing techniques. If you guys are hearing BST here, you're absolutely right. Following classroom training, observations of supervisors' feedback skills occurred in the living area as in baseline, except that supervisors received feedback regarding performance of the eight feedback components. Follow-up evaluation of supervisory feedback training on a staff member's teaching skills. To evaluate the effects of supervisor training on the maintenance of staff members' teaching skills, follow-up observations were conducted with staff members who had completed the teaching skills program the previous month. Four of these staff members worked in living units with supervisors who had completed the feedback program. For the short-term maintenance measure, this target group was observed an average of 42 days following completion of the teaching skills program. The long-term maintenance measure occurred after an average of 82 days had passed. Four staff members from the same class as the target group, but who had worked in living units with supervisors who had not participated in the feedback program, served as a comparison group for the short-term maintenance evaluation. One observation of each staff member in the comparison group occurred an average of 40 days following completion of the teaching skills program. A third group represented the comparison group for evaluation of long-term maintenance. The group included four staff members who had completed the teaching skills program and had been observed one time each during baseline observations of supervisors who would later complete the feedback program, as in they worked for supervisors in the study before the supervisors had received training on feedback. The number of days since completing the teaching skills program for this comparison group averaged 72. Reliability checks occurred during 31% of the maintenance observations involving all groups. Inter-observer reliability averaged 99%. For overall agreement of correct teaching behaviors, 98% for occurrence and 97% for non-occurrence. Acceptability. Following completion of the feedback program, supervisors from the first two training groups completed an 8-question acceptability survey. Using a Likert scale, supervisors rated the helpfulness and likability of the feedback program. experimental design. A multiple probe design across two groups of supervisors was used to assess the effects of the teaching skills program on the supervisor's teaching and feedback skills. The same design was used across three groups of supervisors to evaluate the effects of the feedback program on feedback skills. Results. The teaching skills of five supervisors were not observed following the teaching skills program because they met criterion for teaching during baseline. Only one baseline observation of Cassie's teaching skills were obtained, as noted earlier. Therefore, there was no evaluation of the effects of the program on her teaching behavior. The average for the four supervisors who did not meet the teaching criterion during baseline was 64% correct teaching behavior. This increased to 93% following completion of the teaching skills program. All supervisors met the teaching criterion within three on-unit sessions. During baseline, no supervisor met the performance criteria for feedback provision. When feedback skills were observed after completion of the teaching skills program, only Flo met criterion. Feedback skills for Donna, Carol, Bob, Irene, Sherry, and Rita averaged 53% following completion of the teaching skills program. However, the average percent of correct feedback for all supervisors increased to 86% following completion of the feedback program. Of the nine supervisors who had not met criterion before completing the feedback program, all but one met criterion within the four observation and feedback sessions. For the target group of four staff members, short-term follow-up behavior observations indicated 100% correct teaching behavior, whereas the comparison group averaged 72%, with only one of the four maintaining the 80% performance criterion. When the target group was observed for long-term maintenance, correct teaching averaged 94%, with three of the four staff members correctly performing 100% of the skills. The correct teaching behavior of the long-term comparison group averaged 67%, with only one staff member maintaining the 80% criterion. Follow-up probes of three supervisors' feedback 23 to 40 weeks after completion of the feedback program indicated maintenance of their feedback skills well above pre-training levels. All supervisors who completed the acceptability survey gave the program the highest rating for likability and helpfulness. Discussion. When the feedback program followed the teaching skills program, improvements occurred in the feedback provided by paraprofessional supervisors to direct service staff regarding their teaching skills. Moreover, the supervisor's feedback appeared to enhance the maintenance of the staff members' teaching skills. Although improvements in supervisors' teaching skills occurred following the teaching skills program, consistent improvements in feedback skills did not occur until they were directly targeted using instruction and on-the-job feedback. A practical implication of this finding is that staff members who are promoted to supervisor because of exemplary direct service skills should not necessarily be expected to demonstrate proficient supervisory skills without receiving training on those skills. So I'm going to step away for a second and just maybe even read that paragraph again. It's that important. A practical implication of this finding is that staff members who are promoted to supervisor because of exemplary direct service skills should not necessarily be expected to demonstrate proficient supervisory skills without receiving training on those skills. Although measuring the effects of supervisor training in terms of client gains would have been desirable, inclusion of three levels of performance measures, supervisor, staff, and client, in one investigation represents a labor-intensive research strategy. This may be one reason for the relative lack of research on supervisor behavior. The alternative research model used here was to document the effectiveness of staff implementation of target procedures on measures of client welfare before conducting research on supervision of those procedures. Our previous research showed that when staff members implemented the training procedure targeted in this study with at least 80% proficiency, gains in client skills were observed. As procedures for training supervisory skills are evaluated, additional research on the acceptability of the various procedures among staff and supervisors seems to be warranted. Procedures that are more acceptable to supervisors are more likely to be implemented. The methodology for evaluating acceptability also needs further analysis. In the current study, supervisors rated training as highly acceptable using a Likert scale. However, recent research has indicated that more behavioral measures, such as a choice of procedure for future use, may provide a more valid acceptability measure. Although this investigation demonstrates one system for maintaining direct service staff members' teaching skills, continued work is necessary. Unless organizational support systems are developed to reinforce supervisors' use of their newly acquired feedback skills, those skills, like the skills of the staff, are not likely to be maintained. Identification of variables that affect supervisors' continued use of functional supervisory skills represents an area for future investigation. Again, this article came from a 1995 version of, version of the Journal of Applied Behavior Analysis. It's titled Training Residential Supervisors to Provide Feedback for Maintaining Staff Teaching Skills with People Who Have Severe Disabilities, here at Western Carolina Center, and Marsha Parsons and Dennis Reed were the investigators and authors of this. This is such important content, right? As we are looking at training the next wave of BCBAs and who serve as supervisors. And I've taught at online and on ground graduate programs in behavior analysis. And there's one, maybe two courses in supervision. And gosh, as a BCBA, that's such a big part of our role in many ways. And we need to be sure that those that we are training are learning about behavior analysis and also that parallel process of applying behavior analysis, not just to kids with disabilities or whoever your identified patients are or your primary patient, but are also learning how to use it with those that they supervise. And so also as we look at how are we using, sorry, I'm doing air quotes here, but lead RBT positions, what does that look like? So even if it's not a BCBA, how are we training individuals to be supervisors or leaders or to give feedback, right? Which is a specific behavioral skill repertoire within the larger skill repertoire of supervision and feedback. So I hope that this is some information to think about and also reminds us that it's not a new concern or a new area to focus on. Training supervisors to be good supervisors is an important area to continue to look at and an area that we've been looking at within our field. And hopefully that we'll continue looking at. And maybe some of you guys are working on projects in this area, and I look forward to reading them when they come out in the future. So as always, time is our most valuable resource because it is so limited. And those of you that are spending it here with me, Dr. Becca Tagg, on the Business of Behavior podcast, either for the first time or regularly, I appreciate that this is how you're choosing to spend the time. I hope that you're finding value. I'm always open to feedback. You can email me through the website. You can message me on Facebook. You can post something in the ABA Business Builders Facebook group, whatever feels most comfortable for you. And I hope you have a great rest of your day. Thanks.